سبا
Good evening. My name is Tammy Riddle. I'm the Director of Investor Relations for Ready Cincinnati, a private nonprofit and economic development partner of the City of Blue Ash. First, thank you for your partnership and your investment in Ready Cincinnati and for the opportunity to be here tonight. As you know, Ready Cincinnati is the regional strategy leader for business attraction, retention, and expansion. Our purpose is to ensure this region is competing on a global scale for businesses and jobs that will enhance our regional economy. In fact, we have partnered with the City of Blue Ash on several projects such as Lynn Key Technologies, Kroger's various projects for expansion, and Integrity Express Logistics Development. As part of our work and benefit of our partnership, Ready Cincinnati actively gathers market intelligence and reports trends that can enhance our local and regional economic development efforts. With that in mind, we would like to provide you with insights and trends that may be relevant to your Summit Park mixed-use development plan in your consideration tonight. As it relates to business attraction, we see more and more companies requesting non-traditional assets to locate their projects. Traditionally, you may know, companies seek acreage, price point, infrastructure, access. But in more recent years, Ready Cincinnati has received direct requests from companies that are looking for softer factors and amenities like walkability, diversity of housing, retail, restaurants, and even recreational programming to ensure that they can be successful in certain locations. The types of employers and projects that we see requesting mixed-use amenities are companies in what we would consider the industries of tomorrow. These are industries such as technology, research, data analytics, digital companies, many of which are already here in the City of Blue Ash. In evaluating just three opportunities that Ready Cincinnati was presented in the past year, collectively those companies made up over 1,700 potential new jobs and would generate over $120 million of new payroll. And that's just a small sample. As Ready Cincinnati works to promote the region and compete globally, we see how economic development is changing. Companies are now seeking quality sites and quality places. Ready Cincinnati, we travel the globe to go to economic development professional conferences, and we work really closely with site selectors who play a major role in corporate location decisions. Without exception, best practices show and the site selectors share that construction-ready sites who offer a proximity to entertainment and housing options, specifically higher end, and that provide a walkable and livable sense of place, help them in making location decisions. Employers are located in these types of communities to offer a unique offering for their talent. They want to see knowledge workers living closely to their potential location, and they want to see the creative class as a way to recruit diverse talent that will help their company succeed into the future. Employers have to wage an intense battle and competition for talent. They want to be in areas that both
amplify
medium and energy.
We have 1 minute left.
One more minute? Thank you. That can be found in mixed-use environments. And because of this market demand, we see communities continuing to develop mixed-use developments like this across the region, like we see at the Bank, Oakley Station, or Liberty Town Center. To support this point, a good example of what innovative companies are seeking today, I want to discuss a public proposal that was put forth by Amazon in their search for a second headquarters, or what is known as HQ2. This in no way talks about a connection to Summit Park or what Amazon is seeking, but to just show you an example that says they are, to quote their proposal, companies are looking for, we want to invest in a community where our employees can live, have recreational opportunities and educational opportunities, and an overall high quality of life. They specifically call out information that summarizes daily living, green space, diversity of housing options, availability of housing near potential sites for their HQ2 location. So simply put, trends show that companies are changing and expanding their criteria as they make their location decisions. We have chief HR officers make driving location decisions, businesses seeking mixed-use locations with density, walkability, livability that generate a culture and energy that help attract and retain talent.
We're done on that. But, you know, if you have a read, you can send it to us.
I just wanted to thank you again for your thoughtful leadership and continuing to grow the great city of Blue Ash where we can continue to compete as a region.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, I'm Kevin Shuddy. I'm the managing director for CBRE here in Cincinnati and Dayton. We're the largest commercial real estate services firm in the world, and we represent over 60% of Fortune 500 companies all around the world. And we have a complete department called Labor Analytics that does nothing to help those companies find the right locations when they're looking for new places for headquarters or expansion. And without exception, the companies that they use our labor analytics department, they are searching for areas that have mixed use housing opportunities because they're trying to attract the right employees. It is a critical part of their decision making process. As was stated earlier, the GE and the banks, the reason that was there is because of all the mixed use housing around it. I spoke to my counterparts in four cities surrounding us today, Cleveland, Columbus, Indianapolis, and Louisville. They all have similar developments, and they are the developments that are most successful in attracting office tenants to the area. And I'll give you an example. Locally here, the fastest-filling office product in this market is the Brookwood Exchange product. And it has the apartments right next to it. So it's the most demand. Fill up the quickest, and I think what has been designed here at Blue Ash, some part is fantastic, and we would like to see that occur. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Cassie Norris. I'm not a resident, but having worked on Summit Park for years, I feel like one, and very proud to be here. You guys do things differently. 40 years ago, Blue Ash leadership decided this was going to be a 20th century corporate capital, a surprising and to many at the time unrealistic goal. Who does that? Reconfigure a city to grab the future by the throat? Probably interesting conversations with the community back then too, but worth having since today 12,000 residents, up by about 4,000 since 1970, benefit from 55,000 taxpaying daily workers. A 100-acre park in the center of the city, who does that? I had colleagues tell me that nobody has ever put a successful restaurant inside a park. Thank you, Scott and Darren. About 40% of your own community apparently thought it was a really bad idea. Some of whom are probably over there right now having a really good dinner. But Blue Ash intended to claim the 21st century, not just the 20th. So you developed a new vision. Your comprehensive land use plan in 2015, the park, 2 years of negotiating for this development, open houses, public and private meetings, revisions, negotiations, planning commission reviews and approvals, pretty much the ordinary process of ensuring development leading to tonight. It's easier now in the 7th than in the 70s. Total invention not required, just try to stay ahead of the competition. But clearly there is competition. Because 5 years ago, the office vacancy rate was about a quarter of what it is today here. Cincinnati, Covington, Oakley, the banks. They're eating the lunch that rightfully belongs to Blue Ash. Because games are fragile. Trends change. Mostly because people change. And nothing is more difficult to navigate, especially in your situation, than change. It's challenging to think of building something new, major, not exactly suited to our own preferences. But then again, we're building it only partially for ourselves. The real target audience is our children. And since we want to remain a corporate powerhouse, their employers. And they don't want quite the same thing we did. As is evident from the conversation here tonight, we don't even all want the same thing. I too find it endlessly annoying to talk about millennials who include, as others have commented, my own children. But they are the holy grail for every city seeking to retain a corporate base. Thank you, sir. And they love apartments. Not because they're averse to commitment, but because they value the ease. Who pays $1,500 for an apartment? They're highly educated, tech-savvy kid who wants to walk or bike to work. And our employers, current and future, want that same kid. Based on everything we know in my firm, all the data, all the communities we visit and work in, this development, which has been negotiated so closely, refined so carefully, and placed before you this evening, will support Blue Ash's intention to remain a city without peer in this region. To improve is to change, said Winston Churchill. To be perfect is to change often. At key inflection points, Blue Ash leadership has had the vision and courage to debate, negotiate, explore, and ultimately embrace change. Let's continue to be perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. My name is Bill Trout, and I represent the development team of Almire and the other developers for the mixed-use plan and the life plan for the neighborhoods at Summit Park. Many of the team are with me here tonight in the first row. Our team is inspired by the tremendous opportunity at hand at Summit Park in Blue Ash. This community has a sterling reputation to raise a family, launch and grow a career, and we are excited about the prospect of contributing to that vitality and exceptional quality of life. We are dedicated to advancing the goals that have been expressed by the city and its advocates. You're all aware the developer, the city, and the stakeholders of Blue Ash have been collectively working on this development for the past 22 months to create a walkable, vibrant, mixed-use community that benefits all the citizens of Blue Ash. And we are grateful for all the input from the citizens of Blue Ash, its leadership by you and the administration. I'd like to briefly go over the facts that relate to tonight's discussions. On September 7, 2017, the City of Blue Ash staff report recommended approval of our final development plan in the mixed-use building and the senior living project. By the way, in the senior living, approximately 38 of those units are memory care. Approximately 81 of those units are assisted living, so they are not traditional apartments. On September 7, 2017, the Blue Ash Planning Commission unanimously approved our final development plan as being consistent with the concept plan for both projects. The plans before you tonight are in strict adherence to the 2015 Blue Ash Land Use Plan for Summit Park. The developers are in conformity with the land use plan and the zoning code, and the task before you tonight is confirming that upon the recommendation of your professional staff and the unanimous decision of the Planning Commission to approve the final development plan as being consistent with all that had previously been presented. At our public hearing last month, the developer heard from you concerns and is willing to impose two additional conditions, which we believe will meet some of the concerns of council. And in all my career, I have never seen conditions like this that the developer was willing to impose on themselves. The first condition, the developer agrees to permanently restrict the remainder of the site from being developed for residential rental product. That means no more rental units after this phase. Number two, upon receipt of a building permit for the mixed-use building, the developer will provide the City of Blue Ash a $1 million performance bond or equivalent to be held for a period of 24 months in the event that the developer has not submitted an application for a building permit for the construction of an office building before the end of the 24-month period from the issuance of the mixed-use building permit. The developer shall forfeit that $1 million to the city of Blue Ash. This, I believe, shows their staunch commitment to office development. As you know, there's approximately a 20-21% vacancy rate currently in the Blue Ash market. However, the developer said they are vigorously looking to work on that office component. And they have been, and they will continue to do that. And they're putting money on it to show you their total commitment. This effort has been a long and thorough process. The developer looks forward to the first steps in creating a one-of-a-kind, walkable, mixed-use neighborhood that will transform and guarantee Blue Ash's future and relevancy for generations to come. This development team and many people from the city of Blue Ash have invested a considerable amount of time and resources in good faith that this project was received in a timely fashion. We appreciate the complexities of this project and its deep importance to the community. We respectfully ask that Council avoid further delay and vote on the three ordinances with the proposed conditions tonight. We believe these affirmative votes will be an extremely positive step for the continued betterment of everyone who lives and works in Blue Ash. Our team is prepared to answer any further questions the Council may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If we have any questions when we deliberate, we can always ask if need be. So there is some more. Okay. I thought you got up a little fast, but we got some more out there. So.
Good evening. Linda Ratterman, 45 Carpenter Run. Pleasure to be here and talk with everyone. We've enjoyed the opportunity over the last 2 years to be involved and observe the excitement with the development of Summit Park. And I'm not going to repeat what others have said, but I think there are some key things that you all need to be mindful of, especially in view of the comments that we just heard from some of the developers. I think first and foremost, many of us in the community have come back to what the council approved in September of 2016 as far as the concept plan. And to remind you what that was, quote unquote, the development is intended to be a vibrant employment district. It's underlined. It's an important part of this because when the developers presented this concept that everybody bought into and accepted for the planned unit development, the mixed-use development, which we embrace and we're excited for. There were key elements of this regarding the tax base and the importance of tax revenue that allow all residents to enjoy a wonderful standard of living with respect to the community services that we have. And it's been pointed out to us many times that residents alone, our little property taxes, don't cover the wonderful amenities, the rec center, the trash pickup, all of these things. So you can imagine the concern that we have when the representations that the tide that rises all boats and the importance in the centerpiece of a gateway with commercial space over a year and a half, it doesn't materialize and excuses get made. And I'm going to come back to the concept which you all approved because this is what you said you would hold the developers to. You've individually told us this. You've told us at homeowner meetings and one-on-one in developer meetings that there will be, the developers will be responsible to perform. So again, let's go back to the development is intended to be a vibrant employment district that includes supportive residential. It doesn't say you have to have apartments to have commercial tenants. We all know that's not true, and I can come back to that. Supportive residential and commercial amenities, and it's deliberation of all final phases based on the concept plan, council that's you, in the new members, shall consider the nature and mix of existing land uses that have been developed to date to ensure that continued development maintains the appropriate and balanced mix of land uses. The most important one of all, final plan approvals that contain residential land uses, that's apartments. You can call them multifamily. You can call them memory care, senior living. It's residential, whether it's single family, senior apartments, whatever they are, it's residential. May be withheld or delayed to ensure that the actual developed conditions reflect the desired development character. Okay. With that said, Naira has been very busy. You let other people talk. I will wrap this up. Thursday's vote at Blue Ash City Council was not a vote to approve or disapprove of apartments or the number of apartments. The vote addresses whether City Council agrees that the final development plan is consistent with the approved concept development plan, which has already been approved by the Planning Commission and City Council. That's the letter that Naira has sent to people. To homeowner associations, to others today, to try to make sure that everyone is going to be reminded as to that this isn't about apartments. Where is the final plan? Where, when you guys reference the final development plan and the development agreement, where is the development agreement that any of the public has ever seen that you have apparently, somebody's agreed to it? I can't find it on the Blue Ash website, and I don't know what the development agreement is. And I don't know what the final plans are. All we saw were blueprints for 10 acres for 491 apartments. Now, new information on concessions, that's great. You have an obligation to take that information back to your executive session, discuss it and deliberate it, and then give others the chance to digest it, whether it's $1 million, whether it's a limitation on apartment. That's new information that the public, some of the public here tonight, is just getting. There is absolutely no way that you should vote yes on this based on that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. I was going to say last chance, but I not yet.
Good evening. Jerry Misery, I live at 7th Trail Bridge Drive in Blue Ash. And I have written to you folks a couple of times, so you know my position on this. I won't repeat any of that. I want to talk about one subject tonight, and that subject is sales and PR versus data gathering and real interaction. Earlier tonight, I heard some comments about what new offices, new office purchasers are looking for. And I tell you, that's right off a good PR presentation by a developer. And I'll tell you, we're not opposed to mixed-use development. Mixed-use development is where it's at. We all know that. The issue is not mixed-use development. The issue is mixed-use development that hasn't been carefully thought out, evaluated, and taken into consideration the opinions of the people that have to live with that mixed use when the developer walks away a couple years from now and we're all still here. So that's what we're opposed to. I'll tell you, I'm involved in commercial real estate. Our company owns commercial real estate, including offices. In fact, sold an office in Sharonville 4 months ago. And yes, there's some new thoughts that need to be considered because times change. But I will tell you this. I have never involved in an office deal when anyone has said, well, how many apartments are going to be near our office building? Or better yet, is there going to be a senior citizens facility nearby so our retirees can go there when they finish working here? That just doesn't happen. They're looking for mixed use that is balanced and even. And that's the concern here. This isn't a balanced, even approach that's being presented to you by these developers. Look, I don't fault developers for making their best possible pitch. If I was a developer, I'd be making my best possible pitch as well. And there have been a number of information meetings, but I got to tell you, I went to a few of them, and I thought what was being presented there was a good sales pitch. I don't think they really cared what my input was. They had said, well, what do you think? And no one wrote anything down. So I don't think anybody was really there to collect data and evaluate it and take into consideration what the residents really wanted. I think they were there to sell us. I think that's what that, those meetings are all about. And as far as the comments that just happened, or the proposal that was just made, I'll even comment on that. I think that proposal, if it weren't for the interest of the people that are here and the groundswell of opinion has occurred, I don't think that proposal would have ever happened, and certainly wouldn't have happened the day of the meeting vote. Okay, if they really wanted to make that proposal, they could have made it a month ago, 2 weeks ago, so we all could have thought about it and considered it, and you all could have evaluated it. So I don't think that, to echo what Linda said, I think you need to not vote this approval tonight. You need to go away and think about what's been offered and evaluate that. And if that's going to be the deal, it ought to be put in the form of a real legal document that has to be signed by the developer and approved by council, not just some comment made verbally or in a letter or in an email. So my final thought to you is vote against this tonight. There's plenty of time. There's no rush here. There's plenty of time to evaluate what was been offered tonight, to carefully consider it, to decide how you want to proceed, and to take another vote a month from now, or whenever. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Now remember, Jerry, 3 minutes, I'll give you a minute to wrap up.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You were a little late. 3 minutes, and we give you 1 minute.
I hope it's not 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'll do my very best.
They can't hear you at all, so speak. Can you hear me?
Okay. My name is Gary Glass. I live at 9471 Tramwood Court. You know, we had everybody sit here for 2 hours, and people give their thoughts on the Summit Park thing. And I just want to say at the outset, I don't appreciate this procedure. You know, people wanted to express their opinions, and then the developers had their concessions in their back pocket that they were prepared to make. I think it's a matter of process, due process, and public notice to the citizens. We should have known about that concession before we walked in here. I think that would have been the proper procedure. But be that as it may, what I'd like to do, because I knew that was coming from some of the reports that were in the media, I'd like to at least set forth some of my concerns about how this is going forward and what should be done. Right now, you know, the thing that comes to mind to me is the song from The Who, "Don't Get Fooled Again." I don't want us to get fooled again. Okay? The proposal we have now is 290 apartments and 201 senior units. That's 491 apartments. People here are not anti-development when it comes to Summit Park. We don't want to be villainized. Most of us want a thriving mixed-use development consisting of office, retail, owner-occupied residential, and, that's that word, maybe some apartments. But what we want is responsible development to ensure appropriate levels of mixed use in Summit Park. And I will submit to you that many of us, including myself, do not feel that the developers have taken the necessary steps since the concept plan was approved in September 2016 to deliver the promised mixed use development for the remaining 78 acres. We want council to vote no on the developer's plan for these 10 acres, and on the concessions right now, or at least 2 weeks, to consider this and table it for another 30 days before they vote on it. Because I think it's important in the interim that we make sure that we preserve the mixed-use character for this development. This city has been down this path before. In 2010, council, city leadership, the planning commission did not take the necessary steps at the outset to change the zoning for a mixed-use development for the former Driftway site. The net result was a massive 4,900 apartment complex built right under our noses, which destroyed the mixed-use character of our beloved downtown village. Council told us then, sorry, there was nothing we could do about it. Council needs to take steps right now to protect the citizens and residents so we don't get fooled again.
The way the concept plan is, if the developers do not give us a suitable mixed-use development and are not transparent, and that's an important word, council can delay approval of the developer's plans, these 10 acres, until the developers provide more specific details, answer questions, offer concessions and promises to ensure Summit Park will be a thriving mixed-use development. I submit we're not there and we don't have enough to show that we're getting there. The September 2006 concept plan promised mixed use that would be driven by commercial office space on the nearly 20 acres over on Glendale, Milford, and Reed Harbor. To date, some 16 months later, the developers still have not found a single office tenant for this part of the development.
Gary, 1 minute to wrap up.
Not one. They haven't found one. They haven't given us one. We've got nothing for the office development. So now they're coming into you and saying, well, you know, we've had a whole host of different reasons why we haven't had an office development. It's varied. We've got to build it so they will come. We have a low occupancy rate in Blue Ash. They've given you so many reasons. What's the real story? The people need to know that story. And we need to ask those questions and get answers. And then we've got 491 apartments for us. So they're talking about now agreeing that that's enough. Is that the number we want? 491? I submit we need to have further debate on that. They've made some concessions to you. We need to publicize those. The people need to see them. They need to be debated. They need to be vetted. We need to have due process so people know what's going on. These questions can be asked and answered, and then it can be submitted for a vote. That's the prudent thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. That's my last chance. Anyone else wants to come up and speak? Okay, with that, I'm going to close the hearings for citizens. And I just want to thank you all for. It's been a long time here, so you've done a pretty good job. Thank you for keeping those comments to a minimum. Okay, with that, we're going to hear committee reports, and we're going to send it over to the Planning and Zoning Committee, Mark Serkin.
Carla, will you read Ordinance 2018-1 by title only?
Zoning text amendment to Chapter 1121 definitions to amend the regulation of residential group homes and declaring an emergency.
I would move to suspend the rules of council, require a second reading.
Second.
Second. Please call the roll.
Councilwoman Bauer?
Yes.
Councilman Leet?
Yes.
Councilman Jabari?
Yes.
Councilman Capel?
Yes.
Councilman Sirwanka?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Serkin?
Yes.
Mayor Adamek?
Yes.
Seven yeses.
To adopt Ordinance 2018-1.
Second.
So this is what we talked about. The ordinance removes five words in our zoning code concerning the definition of a residential group home. And as we said, Ohio law states that if there are five or less residents, no special or conditional use zoning requirements are applicable.
Any questions?
Please call the roll, Carla.
Councilman Lee?
Yes.
Councilman Jabari?
Yes.
Councilman Capel?
Yes.
Councilman Sirwanka?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Serkin?
Yes.
Councilwoman Bauer?
Yes.
Mayor Adamak?
Yes.
Seven yeses.
I'm going to suggest that we talk about the next three resolutions together. They're on the table, so we're going to open them up. If that's okay with everybody, just kind of talk to them as in a group, since they're all about the park project. Or the Elmira project, I should say.
So we're gonna do all three.
If that's okay with everybody. Yes. All right, so then I'm going to move to remove from the table all three of these resolutions, 2017-81, 82, and 83. Discuss them, and then we can move through the procedure later.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No. Anybody want to start? Any any questions for the developer or any comments about the new information we got tonight? Don't be shy.
So you guys are going to make me start again. Okay, that's fine. Privilege of being the new guy, I guess. So I just, usually what I do if I have more than a minute's worth of stuff to say, I often just write it out in advance because I move a lot quicker through it that way and then kind of ad-lib on it based on what was heard of earlier, so that's what I'll do here. At the last meeting, I made a comment that if we're being sold on a mixed-use development, then I expect that we will be getting a mixed-use development. The concept is very important to this debate. The idea behind mixed-use is to have office, commercial, and various types of residential living all in one walkable community rather than the standalone complexes that we're familiar with. An increasing number of employers and workers are looking for that. It's also important for us to realize that our city has understandably grown wary of the increasing percent of apartments and standalone apartment complexes in the city. If you drive through Hunt Road, you understand why. That said, there is a difference between the standalone apartment complexes versus a reasonable number of apartments that can be successfully placed within a mixed-use development. Unfortunately, the legislation we have in front of us is basically two apartment projects plus a little commercial with verbal promises that the rest will come later, and that's not good enough. The concept plan passed in 2016. Basically, I was going to read the same stuff that Mrs. Ratterman read, so I'll just summarize that it does state it is intended to be a vibrant employment district and that the residential land uses can be withheld or delayed if necessary. I'm not convinced that there is a plan to get the office portion of this moving rapidly, and one of the factors that has me concerned is the $1.35 assessment per square foot that has to be paid to the City of Cincinnati for office space over the next 20 years. In all likelihood, the developer agreed to that to get a lower purchase price, with Cincinnati happy to hamstring us with an economic disincentive to make it harder for us to compete with them for businesses. That assessment creates an additional obstacle towards landing companies there. I do support the concept of adding mixed-use development to Blue Ash. More employers and employees are preferring this, and right now we don't have any. It's not that I'm necessarily buying the hype that everyone is now embarking on a wholesale switch to this preference, or that they will in the next 10 to 20 years, but it's clear that we need to have some mixed use for diversity of offering purposes so that we can stay in position to attract a wide range of employers. But I can't vote on nice-sounding titles or verbal promises. The legislation has to implement what we need, and what we're voting on doesn't. I'm not drastically far from a yes vote, and I do appreciate the concessions that the developers have offered in the last 2 days, though I would need to see those items get professionally vetted by our administration and would want time to review them myself and give citizens a chance to review them as well. I do appreciate all the feedback I've received from Blue Ash residents, and that input was heavily factored into my vote. For me to support a proposal like this, it needs to be both a solid proposal and something that residents can get behind. This isn't it. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just have a few quick words. I just wanted to clear up a couple issues just to make sure we're all on the same page. I'll say the dental school pilot training was a hell of a lot easier than this job. No matter what decision we make, we're invariably upsetting some people, and we really do try our best. And we listen to everybody, and we work a lot. Very hard to try to come up with a solution that kind of works for everybody. Housing options were definitely one of the top requests that we kept hearing during the comprehensive plan update. And there were a lot of open sessions. I'm sorry that not everybody was aware of them or chose to attend them, but there were a lot of opportunities to put in some input. And we got a whole lot from a lot of residents all over the city, not just around Summit Park. We did get it from everywhere. The Daventry, the single-family homes that they're building, are generally been pretty well received. I'd say that's probably an understatement. I have had some comments that the price points were too high for some of the next transition. They are, I'm throwing out numbers, but we're talking $600,000-$700,000+. And that is not a possible transition point for some people who want to downsize. Mobility is very important to me. When I walk the street, when I walk the ward, I realize how many of our residents in Ward 5 are getting to the end of that I can go upstairs situation. So I really want us to have some options for people to stay in Blue Ash. I don't want to see everybody have to move to Kenwood or to Twin Lakes. The dream of having a senior living facility where grandpa needs assistance or he can't go upstairs so they have elevators or he's got dementia, can meet his grandkids, go down to the pond, go to a restaurant, you know, watch the kids play. I just think that would be the most amazing thing, and I would challenge anybody here to tell me in this area where that can happen. Maybe Twin Lakes to a point. So we've been working for a long time with the property owners to try to come up with a solution that addresses everybody's needs and desires as much as possible. I would love to see energy and lights at the park 365 days a year. As Scott Schmidt, the owner of Tohono, says, there are a lot of times in the winter where it is extremely quiet up there when it's cold. But if you have some people living up there, which Daventry started, and, you know, some other options getting going, and someday hopefully condos, it would be nice for the residents, it would be nice for the businesses, and I think it would be nice for the region. So, that being said, I think that the offers that are on the table are fairly significant. And I will agree with Mr. Capel that I think it would be best for us to kind of look at these, look at the legal aspects of these, get a document that's signed, sealed, and delivered. And we have a couple options. We don't have another meeting because we have our retreat on the 25th. The next meeting is February 8th. The other option is that our retreat is a two-day session. It's not a fun retreat. It's just we get together and talk about what's going on in Blue Egg for the next couple of years. But we could, when the session ends at 7 o'clock, we could have a meeting here to deliberate and finally vote on this project. The other option is just putting that in a normal date, which would be February 11th. So I'm just throwing that out there, and I'd like to get your feedback. I'm sorry, yeah, the 8th.
Mark, before we, because I think you're looking at
what's
happening. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think you're looking to table it. Is that what you're doing?
I think.
I still do want to say
three
things.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying this is a pretty significant incentive. Getting a vote tonight is just pretty new. I think it might be nice to set it a little bit. Come back in 2 weeks, or if not, 4 weeks, and kind of get this thing either moving or not.
I was just saying, before we get to talking, that I have some other things that I want to at least kind of deliberate on and talk to folks on. I do agree with where you're going on that particular part.
Oh, I did have one more thing.
So I'll let you go.
There was a couple questions that people asked in when they were... Hang on. Okay, here. Somebody asked, and then if I'm saying anything wrong, please the developer let me. Why they went up from 240 to 290 apartments? The reason for that was that the school district kind of wanted more single bedrooms. So the increase in number of units actually is a decrease in the number of beds. When you have one bedroom, it's very unlikely you're going to have a kid in the school district, so they felt more comfortable with more single bedrooms. So that's where the numbers went up. The apartments got smaller, less kitchens, you know, there's just less of space in a single bedroom. So that was one thing that I did want to clear up. And Alan Lazarus brought up green space, and I guess I have to make sure everybody knows that we don't own this property. We do own the 130 acres that is from this park, but we do not own this property. It could be owned by an individual, it could be owned by a family, it could be owned by a developer. We can be reasonable, we can guide the zoning and development, but we have to be reasonable. So they are allowed to develop it. They don't have to keep the green space for eternity. That's their prerogative. And if schools, like if schools have signed on to this plan and if they're not concerned about extra students, I know somebody brought that up. The schools were very much involved in this. They have agreed to it. They have signed on to the TIF agreement. So they know that they are going to get increased funds from Daventry and from the development and the senior living and the apartment. They're comfortable with that. They know they're going to be covered financially. So if that's a concern, if they have to add another wing on Blue Ash Elementary, or they're okay with it. That's all I have to say.
I just want to give some perspective on the whole thing because we had some new people here. And I was going to do that first. Yeah, I was almost going to do that first, and then I thought I'd wait. So kind of, let me give you kind of a rundown how this started. It's probably been 5 or 6 years, 5 years ago. Only Lee and myself, I believe, were here when Blue Ash first considered Summit Park. And what we looked at then was, as I recall, it was pretty general. Kind of a one-third corporate, one-third mixed use, one-third residential. So, and in all that time, the mixed use was responsible mixed use that did include apartments. And that was long before we really defined anything. We moved from there to zoning updates, so we had quite a bit of meetings on that.
That was the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, the comprehensive plan and zone, which then went to zoning updates. And then, all that kind of looked at those original principles of what we wanted at the park, really mixed use with all those three components. Then we had Nyer Development, and we had other people, I'm sure, who looked at it, who looked at it, looked at what our principles were. Then they bought it, and they developed where we're at today, a concept plan. Now, it took a little time to get to there, and you heard some of the work they've done. But the concept plan, if you looked at it overall, embodies those principles. Now, I would agree part of the concept plan isn't very detailed. That's the middle part. I think you heard me say that last meeting. But in any event, that's how we got today where we are. And those three principles are still in there. So I just wanted to make sure you understood how that kind of came to where we're at today. Those principles are where we began 6 months ago. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that. That was kind of the facts there. The other thing I wanted to really just go over a little bit that I'm seeing, and I think it is a fact out there, it's corporate climate. I just think we need to keep this in mind. It is getting very difficult out there. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. But this is the first year, I don't want to say the first year because there was an economic decline. But if you look at our financial report, you see this year we didn't have a big increase. I think it's 0.5% total on our earnings collections and business tax collections. And what that's indicative of is we're probably really losing more than we're gaining. Because most people are getting a 2 or 3% raise. That should go up 2 or 3% raise. So that's out there. I mean, we just have to keep that in our mind as we really deliberate this. And the other thing is, we are not getting the same number of companies that we offer to respond to our incentives. It's taking a longer time. I'm not saying they're not going to come here, but we have offered, and it's a longer time frame out there. So I believe that's something that we need to really consider. Now, as far as the proposal, the key areas, and most people in here know, when I have always looked at apartments in the past, I've been very discerning on it. And I know when we talked about concept plan, people were really surprised that I went along with it, because I am not, like many folks out here, somebody who really wants more apartments. There's a lot of reasons you may or may not. But I thought, let's see where this concept plan goes. So I supported going into it. Now, when I went into it and I looked at what was presented, when I looked at the area that's the most eastern, because that's really what we're talking about tonight. It's either the district or the gateway, however we want to call it. There are a couple things that at least I approved when I went through there. And I looked at the apartments, and I know there was a range. There's a little piece of paper that said 248 apartments. I'm going to call it commonly 250. So that's what I thought I approved. And I feel comfortable with that amount that's out there. Now, I know how we got to 290. I know how that all went. But I just wanted to say, you know, I was supportive. Now, the reason I was supportive were some of the things that I mentioned up above. This is a tough world. And the reason I supported it wasn't because I just really love the apartments. We need something in our dual kit. And part of that is a walkable area. I mean, that's how I'm kind of looking at this. So it's kind of something that I think is hard for me to say I really like, but I also know that we have to go out and, you know, show folks that we have something. And whether or not you believe it may or may not happen, the companies are out there that are saying that is what they're looking for. Now, people could say, yeah, maybe, you know, whatever. But I will tell you, I've talked to other developers, not just these guys. And some of these guys are big landlords in our area. And I know they'll tell you. I know they've talked to Neil, maybe going to be talking today. This is a tough climate. One of the things you need to do is make sure you can attract these folks. And one component, I'm not saying it's all components, is a walkable area. Now, you know, we've talked this for 16 months. It's been out there. So it's not like it hasn't been thought of. And maybe there's some improvements in some of the plans that were put forth. But we're really kind of looking at tonight the area that in the concept plan was fairly well laid out, I thought. So I thought it was good. I'm not sure about the middle area, because I would have liked to see more detail around that concept plan. But I'm talking about the concept area on Gateway. So I thought that was pretty detailed. Now, what are my concerns with it? You know, I believe, you know, that 250 is the right number. I have a concern. I know how we got to 290. But, you know, I thought that's kind of what was on that sheet, and that's what I voted for. And just the only area around there I'd like at least, and I don't know, we may not be even voted on this tonight, and I don't know if it's germane to me saying yes or no, is those other 40 units that we went back up. I know you kept the same floor space, but you added more non-owner occupied residences. We went from 250 to 299. And so I would like you to look at those 40 if there's any way that those could be looked at as being condos, flats, whatever they may be. So I'm just asking, and you know, the developer to look at it. We're probably going to have some time, so you can get back. Because the question is, I'm not sure why that wasn't considered. Now, last meeting, I actually asked. I think Jeff brought up one or more flats, a couple of them did. But in that, the discussion I asked was there a market study. So I know you actually helped me know. So that may be difficult because you don't have the market study to say where you're at. The other thing we heard, so I'm not saying that's good or bad, but it might make the plot of looking at it and at least telling me why those couldn't be. Couldn't be condos or flats. You don't have to do it right now. Would be beneficial because I would like to see a thought around that. Now, the other reason I'm saying that is you talk Bridge Street, and Bridge Street, after you talked that, and actually during the meeting, it was discussed that they were looking at converting some apartments to condos. So I'm not sure there isn't a market reason why you might not want to do it. It might not fit with your business plan. It might not fit because there's not enough to make a wing of it. But I also looked on their website and noted that their first, at least in their website, I'm not sure it's completely accurate, because sometimes websites don't really mean how they started out. But it shows that they actually had 70 condos in with their 700 apartments. So I'm not sure there's a reason that you might not make a case for it. But I'd like to hear why we wouldn't, or maybe you'll decide that, yeah, maybe we can. So I want to hear that. I do feel that 250 is a number I'd be comfortable with. The 290 is going to take some time. I'm not sure I would say no to it, but it is important to me. I think it's important to a lot of folks to have some owner-occupied in that area to provide some level of what I would consider, instead of being transient, kind of an ongoing present, and give a sense of community. So that was one thing I don't know
how to feel about that.
Well, you all didn't vote on it. There's only a couple of us. So how did others feel about the 250 versus 290? Is there any, does anybody feel the same way, or am I just off on a thought here?
It depends on how
your money.
The examples were used for the Rookwood and Oakley and Liberty Center, the banks. You know, I drove to those places. I don't want that in Blue Ash. I just don't want it. You know, they're offering $1 million to if they don't meet their goals. Well, you know, in today's economy, $1 million ain't that much, man. Hell, I got $1 million. You know, this is just, and then I went down Wilkins Boulevard, the street behind Home Depot, over off Field Circle, and I seen those big old four-story, five-story buildings, and they're nice, and I agree that the apartments ain't what the apartments were in my youth. But I just don't want that next to a park. We could build a shed out there, and somebody rent it, buy it, and start a family in it. We were stuck on this apartment. We're stuck on this millennial thing. And I'm sorry, you know, if millennials were the best and the brightest, what the hell we had before? It makes no sense to me. Absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah, we're not really deliberating with everybody out in the audience, but I was really not quite getting to there. I was wondering, the other folks that voted for the concept plan, did you feel, as I felt, could there be more owner-occupied in that apartment complex? It's just a question I'm asking you. Maybe you think that, well, it doesn't really quite matter.
I'd like to say, excuse me, while we are discussing these things last 2-3 months, one thing we need to know that economy development is necessary for our city, because we are on the race with the Cincinnati, Mason, and Montgomery. If we don't do anything which is in economic development, if we don't sponsor or we don't entertain the new company coming in, we have $28 million surplus that can be, it can go out because the company will not come and go somewhere else. That can be a problem. But we all are enjoying the so many amenities that we have created in Blue Ash, and everybody's enjoying. So I just wanted to make just one small statement about that. Then I wanted to say is this, how we were requesting for the cap, and we were requesting the commercial buildings, corporate buildings, We requested you guys come, and you guys saying yes, we will do it. The only thing is that you guys have come within last 6 hours or 5 hours or something like that. So what I like to see is that we like to table it. I know that you guys don't like to, you want to go as soon as possible so you can start constructing. But I like to see that I like to table and think about these things. Let our constituents also think about it, and then we can come back. We can come back and vote for this. So that is my 2 cents.
Can I? I'm not even. Your motion to take the 5 minutes
break.
So I would just remind you, if you have to do something, ask us a request for. Well, all in favor.
Yes, I.
Yeah. Okay, just make a request because
we really
shouldn't miss out on any of what we're saying. So we're going to
give a little bit of rest.
If anybody else wants to do anything, go that way.
So we don't have to do another one.